There is no free lunch when it comes to investing, but what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to The Free Lunch, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Colin, Karen, and a special guest today, Karen.
Yes, Ryan.
Well, don't give it away. We're just doing the intro right now. But yes, we have, well, let's talk about last week first. So last week we had Father's Day.
Yep.
We're talking about all things fathers. That was a fun conversation.
It was, and a very important one, supporting the men in our lives.
Yeah, mental health, mental health awareness, and all that good stuff. Today we're not talking about that. We're talking about something completely different. And for that, we have Ryan Ackers, Senior Vice President, Growth and Corporate Development with GBL, joining us. So, Ryan, this is the pinnacle of most people's careers, is to make it to the Free Lunch Podcast. So, you're welcome, and thank you for joining us.
I'm ready to retire.
Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, how did you get where you are?
Yeah, good question. So, grew up in small-town Ontario. I went to university in Toronto, lived there for 10 years, worked in the banking and recruitment sectors, and then got moved out to Calgary in 2014 to launch a finance and accounting group out here with one of the largest recruitment firms in Canada. Not too long after that, I kind of fell backwards into GBL. So met some of the folks there and got to learn the complex subject matter that GBL handles and makes it simple for clients, and really fell in love with it. So that's my backstory.
And for our listeners, just tell us a little bit about who is GBL.
Yeah, so GBL is, formerly Gordon B. Lang & Associates. It is a national actuarial consulting firm, the largest provider of individual pension plans and retirement compensation arrangements in Canada. We handle fair market valuations of life insurance. We do a lot of work with corporations as well regarding compensation and executive retirement plans. We handle things like marriage breakdowns and, just a whole bunch of solutions for business owners, incorporated professionals, corporations, professional athletes, and such.
You know, I've met a few actuaries. Is that how you say it? Actuaries in the past?
Actuaries.
Typically kind of dry people, but you are not that at all.
Yeah, well, I joke that I'm the translator, so I'm not an actuary, but I can assure you the actuaries at GBL are a ton of fun. So
yeah,
smart and a ton of fun.
And wonderful people to work with.
Yeah, right on.
Glad to hear that.
Karen, you want to kick us off?
Absolutely. So today we're going to be diving into a couple of products specific, and they're not really products. They're more vehicles to get to a certain place. And the first one we're going to start with is the SERP, the Supplemental Executive Retirement Plan. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the SERP is a tool. It's a non-registered retirement plan designed for high-income earners. It can be designed for business owners or executives, and it's really meant to supplement their income over and above what a traditional retirement plan does. So you might have a traditional retirement plan in which all of the employees of the corporation take part in. Some of those high-income earners don't get the benefit that they need simply from that group-wide benefits plan. Mm-hmm. So we can build a SERP on top. And what that does is it allows the company to set aside additional funds for those high-earning executives so that they can kind of maintain their lifestyle and retirement better than they could with the traditional plan.
That's excellent. Now, you talked about the benefits. Can we dive a little bit more into that? Like, who typically benefits the most when they have a SERP in place?
Yeah, great question. So typically, the executive or the employee would benefit the most, but the sponsoring company benefits as well. And I can get to that shortly. But the benefits for the individual, they get to increase their retirement income. They're able to personalize their compensation, and they're able to have a bit more control over the withdrawals they take and the taxes that they pay during the time of withdrawals. They're able to kind of spread out their withdrawals instead of taking them all in one lump sum, like we would with a bonus or a severance, for example. Mm-hmm. And really, it allows the executive to keep more of those funds in their pocket.
That's always a good thing when you get to keep more of your money.
Yeah, people usually like that.
Yeah, not a bad thing. That's mm-hmm. definitely a perk.
We'll take it.
Absolutely. So now you talked about how there's benefits to the funding company as well. Can we dive into how a SERP is funded and then maybe talk about some of those benefits to the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So a SERP can exist in two states, but in one of the states, there's kind of two ways that you can do it. So you can have a SERP that's unfunded and a SERP that's funded. Now, with an unfunded SERP, what the corporation is essentially doing is creating like an earmark for the executive. So they're saying, we're going to promise you this benefit in the SERP. We're going to record it so that we know to pay it out to you at a later date. But we're not going to fund it yet. We're going to allow that liability to accrue on the balance sheet. And then when you retire or we hit a certain vesting period, that's when we're going to fund it. So the unfunded SERP, it adds a bit more flexibility for the sponsoring company because they're not using today's cash flows to fund it. Mm-hmm. They're able to keep those cash flows working with the company.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a bit riskier for the executive because their SERP hasn't been funded. And what happens if something happens to the company and they fall into distress? So there's two different types of unfunded SERP that we can set up. The first is unsecured. So that's just the company making a promise to the employee and saying, we're going to pay this out at a later date. And then there's a secured unfunded SERP. And the secured unfunded SERP is essentially when the company goes and gets a line of like a letter of credit and has something to kind of secure that promise, that earmark.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the unfunded SERP, the two kind of ways that you can set that up. The other option is the funded SERP. So this is when the company says, we're going to make this promise to you. We're going to pay this much to you. Here it is. So they make the payment directly. So they make the payment from their cash flows. It's not accruing as a liability on the balance sheet because the payment's been made. And essentially, a funded SERP is ultimately an RCA or a retirement compensation arrangement, which we'll talk about shortly.
Mm-hmm.
The RCA is the vehicle that's used to hold and pay out those funds in the SERP.
Now I see why there's a lot of actuaries involved.
Yeah. So the unfunded, unsecured SERP, is that kind of like phantom shares almost?
It's kind of like a notional account. So mm-hmm. it's money that's set aside as a promise, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that a lot of companies are aware of these types of products? Or is this part of your role where you're going out and speaking to people about these vehicles?
Yeah, great question. So the majority of companies that we talk to aren't aware of SERPs, or they might be aware, but they haven't gone through and set them up. There are a number of clients that we work with who've set up SERPs for several executives, but it's still one of those solutions that's very powerful,
right,
but still somewhat unknown for the most part across Canada.
Which is why you're on here today with us.
Yeah, spreading the word. Okay, so obviously this sounds like a good thing for the executive or whoever is going to receive the SERP at some point. What's the benefit to the the company?
Yeah, so the company is able to really enhance their compensation strategy with the SERP by having that on their compensation shelf. It's a great attraction and retention tool. We find over the past few years, talent has been, there's been kind of a fight for the best talent.
Talent war, absolutely. Right?
And now that we're seeing unemployment rise and there's more people looking for opportunities, the kind of the top performing executives are in demand still. So it's a great way for the company to be able to attract and retain those top executives. And the company can build vesting periods into it as well.
Hmm.
So the SERP is fully customizable. So, the way that it's treated during funding or withdrawals is going to depend on the way that the plan text is designed. So it could be designed as a tool that vests a certain amount every 2 or 3 years or 5 years or whatnot. It could be designed as a plan that only fully vests after the executive has worked with the company for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives an incentive for employees to stay.
And are there restrictions as to what can be held within a SERP?
You're looking at typical market investments, very similar to what can be held in RCA or an RRSP or IPP.
Excellent.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, so when you're explaining this, what it reminds me of is Bobby Bonilla Day. Are you familiar with that?
Sadly, I'm not.
Yes, we did an episode on Bobby Bonilla Day where he accepted a lot less up front. And then based off of, you know, compound growth and whatnot, let's just say that every year, I think it's the New York Mets, have to pay Bobby Bonilla like $1 million a year for the rest of his life.
Brilliant.
So he's making more after playing baseball than he did during playing baseball. So it's called Bobby Bonilla Day.
Well played.
So this sounds a lot like that in essence.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the SERP is a tool that can be, if an executive knows about it, it could be used as a negotiation tool in salary negotiations, or, you know, the company can use the SERP as a negotiation tool as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And would you say that it's fairly cost efficient for companies to set this up?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So SERPs, at GBL, we quote on review. Mm-hmm. So every plan is different for a SERP. So we might have one member, we might have 10 members, we might have 500 members. If it's a larger company, the company might want annual reporting. They might want monthly reporting. There might be a lot of kind of one-off requests for the SERP as well. So we quote on review, but typically, I mean, it could be anywhere from $500 a year to about $2,000 a year per employee, depending on the case, on kind of how much work the actuaries are doing.
Right.
Hmm. So very cost effective.
Excellent. So now, help me understand how the SERP benefits are then taxed, because this sounds like there's a wonderful, wonderful reason to have these set up. So I feel like there's a catch somewhere. No?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like the cash that we all have. You pay tax as the employee who's withdrawing at the time that you withdraw. The employer gets the tax deduction at the time that the funds are moved into the SERP.
Excellent.
So if we have an unfunded SERP,
mm-hmm.
the employer doesn't get the tax deduction until those funds are moved into it. But yeah, the employee defers that tax. So the SERP acts as an RCA. So I might be jumping ahead a little bit because if folks might not know what RCAs are yet, but it acts as an RCA where the employee gets, they have flexibility over the size and the frequency of their withdrawals. So they pay tax based on those withdrawals.
That's excellent. And now what happens if the executive happens to leave before retirement?
Yeah, so if they leave before retirement, we would then defer to the plan text and how it was set up. So if there's a vesting period built in, they're owed any money for the SERP, that would get paid before they go. If for some reason the SERP is set up in a way that says the executive has to stay until a certain date and they leave before that date, then the plan text would dictate that they wouldn't be entitled to those payments.
So it could be kind of like another form of golden handcuffs in some cases.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's designed that way.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah. So help me understand, are there any risks or additional considerations that employers should be aware of with SERPs?
Yeah. So you really want to be aware of cash flow considerations. So make sure that you have proper cash flows to be able to meet the obligation. You know, we say that you also want to be aware of the additional complexity. You know, one thing about GBL is that, you know, the average tenure we have at the company is 10 plus years. We have an extremely strong actuarial bench as well as our administrative bench. So that complexity, you're going to notice if you set up a SERP with us that you're most likely going to be pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as complex as you thought it would be. But that's another consideration, is just you're adding a bit of complexity. And other than that, really, the biggest piece is just making sure that you have proper cash flows to fulfill that promise that you made to that executive.
Right. And anyone who's running a business should do that anyways. Or you
won't be running a business very long. Yeah. It is complex running the income and tax side of a business, though, when you start talking about operating companies and holding companies and family trusts and corporate beneficiaries and now SERPs, and you're going to get into RCAs and IPPs, like... I find it overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
You know, it is a lot, but I mean, we've had the pleasure of working with Canvas Group in the past, and really it's, you know, if you have a good advisor and a good team around you, that really helps eliminate that complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So I like the shout out.
Yeah, I think what Ryan was saying is if you're not working with Canvas Wealth, you should deeply consider it, is what I heard. Yeah. And we would say, listen, Karen, are we recommending GBL and Ryan and his colleagues?
100%.
Of course we are. Why wouldn't have them on the show?
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, okay, you already talked about it or alluded to it a few times. Retirement compensation arrangements. Can you get into that?
Oh, so exciting. So
is it?
Oh, yeah, pulls our hair back. So the RCA is, you know, we often refer to it as a supercharged IPP. IPP being the individual pension plan, which we can talk about. We talked about previously in a previous podcast. But
those podcasts have been removed from distribution.
No. Well, we could come back and do it again if you want.
I think we should.
Please. We don't scare you off today. We'll.
Yeah.
So it's like a supercharged RRSP, and it's essentially used for high income earners. So it could be a business owner, an incorporated professional. It could be a senior executive at a company or a high earning employee at a company. It could be a professional athlete. We set up quite a few of these for NHL players. It could be somebody looking to save to sell their business. But what the RCA allows us to do is it's a non-registered tax or retirement vehicle that is much more flexible than a lot of the other vehicles out there. So we do a calculation to determine how much is a reasonable amount that you could deposit into an RCA, and that funding limit is typically a lot higher than what you can deposit into an RRSP, for example, or even an IPP. So we have, the RCA offers a higher funding limit in most cases. It's much more flexible. So I can talk about the flexibility of withdrawals a bit later. It's creditor protected. Mm-hmm. And the RCA is taxed at the time and in the jurisdiction of which those funds are withdrawn. So if taxes, let's say you have an executive in Alberta who sets up an RCA and they decide to move to a lower tax jurisdiction somewhere in the U.S., for example, hate to give Florida a shout out with the Stanley Cup finals right now, but if they go to somewhere like Florida, it's a much lower tax rate. So it's just a much more flexible tool for business owners and executives to be able to save. It's also the tool that's used to hold funds for a SERP and also withdraw funds out of a SERP as well. So a SERP ultimately becomes an RCA at the end of its lifespan.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't know where to go with that.
Well, yeah. So I'd like to just talk about some of the differences that you talked about with the traditional pension plan. And also maybe this would be an excellent time. You talked about like positions of people that would use these, but can you further expand on the avatar? Like how old, what income range, like who does this really benefit?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as far as age goes, there's really, unlike with certain plans like the IPP, for example, the RCA doesn't really have an ideal age. Like what we do is we, at GBL, we look at the top 3 years of T4 earnings that the individual has from their sponsoring company, and we calculate based on the average of that what the funding room could be. So if you have somebody who's in their 20s who's had a high income over a few years, they could have a really good-looking RCA. If you had somebody in their 70s who has the same, but they had a few good years, we could have a good-looking RCA for them as well. The nice thing with the RCA is that there's no forced withdrawals, right? So if, you know, the plan member turns 71, unlike with RRSPs or IPPs or other registered vehicles, you're not forced to withdraw at age 71. So you can keep that RCA going in perpetuity until you pass away, and then it can potentially go down to your kids for a prolonged period as well. So the age limit for the RCA, there isn't really an age bracket that we recommend. It works for anybody. As far as the individual, it's really those high-earning individuals. So it could be executives or business owners or doctors, dentists, lawyers, accountants, like incorporated professionals. Like I said, we do a lot with NHL players as well. They're earning quite a bit of money over a short period of time, and then they, oftentimes many of them move down to the U.S. in a lower tax state, so it works really well for them. And then even for a business owner who's looking to sell a business.
Right.
You know, we can set up an RCA for them as well to help pull money out of the company before that sale happens and reduce the taxable value of that sale.
And severance packages. Yeah. Like that's a, in this industry, in this city, in, you know, oil and gas, there's a lot of that stuff, right?
We should talk about the severance payments because it is an extremely powerful tool for severance. If you have an executive who's earning a 6 or 7 figure severance, and they're going to have to take that as income in year one, or if the company agrees over a 2-year period, you know, they're going to be in the highest tax mm-hmm. bracket likely over that entire 1 to 2 years. So right. the RSA allows for them to put that money into it and then take out smaller withdrawals over time to control the tax rates they pay. So I read the news every morning and I see mergers and acquisitions happening. I see mm-hmm. layoffs. You know, it's a really hot time for RCAs.
And so let's say that an executive finds himself in a position where they know that their role is going to be, finished in a while. Can they approach GBL, or would they approach their company? Like, how does that happen? Or does the company set it up in advance?
Well, the first thing they should do is approach Canvas Wealth.
Right.
Exactly.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we would work with you to determine whether or not the RCA would make sense. So what we'll do is we'll put together an illustration mm-hmm. that'll show how much can be deposited in the RCA. And we'll do a rough forecast as to how much the executive would be saving using the RCA versus taking their severance as cash over 1 or 2 years. So at that point, we'd have the conversation with the executive. And if the company is familiar with RCAs, even better. But oftentimes what we find is, just like with the SERP, there's a lot of companies that might not know what the RCA is, or they might know what it is, but they haven't set it up. One thing we find is that inherent to human nature, something new can be perceived as a risk, mm-hmm. something that you haven't done. So we'll work with the company. So GBL will get involved directly with the company. Typically, we'll speak with their compensation team or their CFO or their chief legal officer, and we'll explain how it works. We'll show them what the plan text and the trust agreement looks like for the RCA. They'll go through and review it to make sure all is well. And then we'll assure them that, you know, we're experts with the largest provider of these plans in Canada. We'll handle all of the CRA requirements. We'll handle all the reporting to make sure the RCA is on side.
That's excellent.
Can I ask you, so I'm going to give you just kind of like a real life example. Okay, well, it is a real life example, actually. So client is in their 60s. They're selling a business. They've done all the things that they think is right. Like, they've got the operating companies, holding companies, family trusts, all that stuff, RSPs, et cetera. Very wealthy people. How does an RCA, how do they structure that when they're like now, when they're like 62 years old-ish, right? Yeah. What's the first step?
Are they looking to sell within, like, what's the time period that they're looking to sell?
So they're selling to their current employees currently. With like an annual payment that they receive.
Okay, great. In this case, what they could do is they could set up the RCA in tandem with the current plan they have to sell the company to the employees. So what they could essentially do is use the RCA to be able to pull money out of the company and put it toward their retirement. So they're able to get, you know, funds out of the company and then reduce the taxable value of that sale and just diversify their retirement stream. The nice thing with the RCA is that you mentioned they have RSPs, and they're mm-hmm. going to be getting, you know, money paid to them by the employees as well. The RCA is another tool that adds to that diversification. And one very powerful feature of the RCA that I mentioned earlier is that they can control how much and how often they withdraw. So if they need $50,000 a year extra on top of what they're earning from their other vehicles, they can take that out. If next year they need nothing, they don't have to take anything out. If the year after they'd like to buy a retirement home in Portugal, let's say, they're able to take, you know, $500,000 out, right? So they've got flexibility, but also when they pass away, if the kids are named as the beneficiaries, if they have kids and both mom and dad pass away, that RCA passes down to the kids intact. And the kids can then withdraw as much or as little as they want, typically over a period of about 20 or more years.
Wow.
Right?
Mm.
So it's a really powerful tool for passing money down to the kids as well. So I'd say it sounds like they're doing all the right planning. The RCA could be used as a tool just to add more flexibility and more diversity to their plan.
And of course, you know, we have people that are cost conscious, right? Is it expensive to set up an RCA?
Based on the savings that the executive receives, we think it's really reasonable. So we charge $6,000 to set up an RCA. A single member plan. If we have a company that's severing, you know, quite a few executives due to mergers and acquisitions or just economic conditions, we typically offer a discount. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of do that on review. Mm-hmm. But $6,000 to set up and $950 to handle the annual administration. So that's all of the work we do and send to CRA every year.
Right.
That's a small price to pay for peace of mind.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, and I mean, it's just always like a cost-benefit analysis, right? Like, you know, because it all sounds great. And that's why I'm trying to understand, well, what am I missing here? You know, like,
why aren't more people doing this?
Yeah, this sounds really, this is like a unicorn to me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. What I'll do is I'll send you, I don't know if you have a portion of your website that you put images up, but I can send it to you. There is a catch with the RCA. And I'll go over that, and then I'll discuss why it's worth setting up the RCA. So when we set up the RCA, the RCA isn't just one account, it's two accounts. So we have an investment account that's managed by the folks at Canvas Wealth, and we have a refundable tax account that's held onto in trust by CRA. So if a company puts, let's say, $100 into an RCA, 50% goes into the investment account, 50% goes into the refundable tax account. So the thing to remember here is that these two accounts have to balance at the end of each year. Now, the catch is that that refundable tax account doesn't grow interest. That's held onto by CRA. The purpose of the refundable tax account is that of a security deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the RCA is such a powerful planning tool that CRA has said, you know, we want to ensure that members aren't going to put a bunch of money into it and then leave the country, for example, and pay no tax at all. So they hold on to 50%. It doesn't generate interest. So that's the catch. But if we look at an executive severance scenario, for example, we've done comparisons, and I can send them if you have a section of your website that you'd like to share them, but we compare Executive A and Executive B. Executive A doesn't use the RCA, Executive B does. We kind of break down all the different parameters. Like, we might say they receive a $500,000 lump sum severance. Executive A has to take it over 1 or 2 years. Executive B can take it over a longer period. Typically, the folks that use the RCA are better off by over 40%.
Wow.
They got more than 40% in their pocket, even taking into account that only half the money is growing interest.
Wow.
So really powerful tool. Don't let the refundable tax account scare you off.
Yeah.
We can put together an illustration with Canvas Wealth and show you the benefit of it.
Right. Yeah. And as you said before, you would do that with each client as well, each prospective client.
Exactly.
And the great thing is we're always going to be involved in this process because mm-hmm. there is an annual review requirement. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So GBL is going to handle all of that and we'll work with you too so that everyone's in the loop.
Yeah. So still the same great investment advice and mm-hmm. additional tax savings. Now, what are the chances that CRA would ever reverse course or make changes to this?
Yeah. Do they do things like that? Do they make changes like
they
that?
They never reverse course at the last minute.
Yeah.
They're our friends. So that's another really good question. So to say that CRA wouldn't reverse course, it's not something that I could say, but what I will say is that we have seen some changes happen to IPPs and RCAs over the years. These are all changes that we see as reasonable and made changes that they made in order to kind of crack down on abuse of these plans. So at GBL, you know, we see some firms on the street that are getting aggressive with some of their advice. And, you know, we look at that as, you know, a danger to what we do because you have a few of these firms that are being aggressive and it can impact us all negatively. So what CRA has done is they've looked at some of these things that have been done and said, you know what, this doesn't pass the primary purpose. It's, you know, it's aggressive. We're going to stop allowing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, as far as the RCA or the IPP being shut down, I started with GBL in 2015. Gordon B. Lang started GBL in 1995. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. We've been asked those same questions for 10 years for me and 30 years for Gordon, respectively. So the fact is that these plans are built into the the Income Tax Act, and
mm-hmm.
we don't see them being eliminated.
Right. It's just as long as everything passes the sniff test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in our world. I mean, I've heard people tell me about the upcoming recession for the last 7 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's a few notable names out there that clocks right twice a day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's excellent. I have another question.
Yeah,
so
please.
With the SERP, you know, you talked about some considerations such as cash flow and making sure that that stuff is all going to be there. Is it similar with the RCA because the two are kind of flow into each other? So I guess what I'm asking is what considerations do employers need to make when they're deciding on instituting an RCA?
Yeah, yeah. So if they set up an RCA for a severance case, for example, that's mm-hmm. much more straightforward. Mm-hmm. They are going to make this severance payment anyway. So it's really the choice of paying it directly to the executive or paying it into an RCA. You know, what could be considered a little bit more complex is if they set up the RCA for executive compensation, which they can. So like a funded SERP, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they are going to want to make sure that they've got the proper cash flows to meet that promise, because that executive is relying on that SERP or RCA as part of the compensation they agreed to, right? They may have agreed to a lower base salary so they could have money put into the SERP.
Mm-hmm.
So the company has to ensure that, just like with salary obligations, that they can make those payments.
Right. Like a funded ratio type of scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're 30-ish minutes in.
Oh, it was my last question, wasn't it? Well, that's what put us over.
No, it's good. It's good. Just to wrap up here, when you're not talking about SERPs, RCAs, IPPs, etc., what do you do for fun?
Well, I have two young kids at home, 4 years old and 2 years old. Let me tell you how much of a blast it is going on an airplane with two young kids, which we just did last week. But other than that, it depends on the time of year. Love to obviously spend time with the kids all the time, but my family and I love to travel. You know, love to play golf in the summer and, yeah, get out and try to play a little bit of hockey in the winter. So
nice. Sounds very Canadian.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anything else, Karen?
No, I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you have amazing information, and you share it in such a way that just is very beneficial for everyone. So I want to thank you for that, and we really enjoy doing business with you.
Yes. Yeah, we're fortunate to have you and your firm and all of the subject matter experts that we work with, because there's a lot to know, and we obviously don't know it all. And so we like to bring in the experts like yourself.
Real pleasure working with you all. Love working with Canvas Wealth. And got to say, I've made it. I've made it onto the podcast. I loved your podcast. I listen to it all the time. So thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Okay. All right. So we'll end it there.
Till next time.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. Canvas Wealth is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy cannot be guaranteed and is subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals and do not represent the opinion of Q Wealth as a firm.